and then out into my room.
But you swallowed your gum.
Yeah. It was my gum. I was the only one that chewed it.
It's going to get stuck in your appendix.
That's okay. They can take that out later.
Oh, so you're just going to let people take it out?
Well, if it's not working right, like my gallbladder wasn't.
Well, your appendix doesn't work at all anyway. It's completely
I mean, if it's
worthless.
Over-collected, then, you know, if it's full, okay?
If it says I'm full and they need to go empty it or take it out or whatever, then they can do that.
Right.
Because if I don't need it and it doesn't do anything, I don't care.
What's today, May 5th? I don't have my watch on today.
Yeah.
And I took my palm out.
I have no idea.
You know what? I can do it. I can fix that. May 4th.
Yep.
12:04 p.m. according to this one. 12:29. Yeah, that's right. I recorded something on here at 12:04. All right. So this will be May 4th, 2005, which I can always add on later.
12:20.
Yeah. All right.
In mind.
Okay.
Just my first idea to throw it out of mind.
Cool. Ready?
Ready.
Good. Let's see. May 4th, 2005. Welcome to One Man Revolution, back with Dan and Joe. That didn't work. May 4th, 2005.
Much better.
Yeah, I think so, too. Let's see. Sitting here with One Man Revolution, I'm Dan.
And I'm Joey.
And today we're going to talk about...
House of Wax.
Well, the preview went real well last night. I got to say, I was pleasantly surprised.
The movie was a lot more fun than I expected. I mean... Everybody went into it with the idea of, I can't wait to see Paris Hilton die.
And she died well.
She did outstanding.
I'm not going to give it away, but that was one of the best ways to go.
Yeah. And unfortunately, they gave her some of the best, most intelligent lines. Now, the delivery, you know, that's a whole different thing.
I like the fact that she had somebody else say, that's hot.
Yeah.
That she didn't say, that's hot. You know?
Yeah.
And also, for a woman with a body like that, she can't dance sexy.
She was really kind of turning me off. Plus, everybody in the film or in the theater has seen her dance in her underwear at least once, whether it's been online or it's been on television, showing little clips that they're allowed to. And so I could hear all around me people going, okay, we've already seen this online because she's, you know, doing her sexy dance for the booty dance for everybody.
Joey, that was me. I was sitting right next to you saying it.
Oh, there were people around us, too. You know, then the girl next to me was hot besides that.
And the one next to her was hot, too. We had a lot of hot ladies out there.
Yeah, it was a really good promotion for Warner Brothers and House of Wax. We had a full house, and Dan and I had the attention of everybody in the theater. It's amazing how you can stand up there and nobody will pay any attention to you until, one, you raise your voice because they think that somebody's in trouble, and two, you mention the word free.
Free stuff, like as in beer.
Yeah.
I like how Warner Brothers gave us matches for a movie promotion.
Yeah, here, give out 350 matches before the movie starts. Oh, yeah, the movie's about melting everything. Let's see what kind of idea we can, you know, put into these people's heads. Here, you want some matches?
And coasters. So you give them out matches and coasters, so something you can burn. That's always good. And movie posters, so you can make torches.
All right, let's look at the merchandising demographic here. They gave us matches. They gave us coasters. Okay, so now we've got the beer bar atmosphere. Then they gave us baby doll t-shirts that say Got Wax on the front and House of Wax on the back. Now those would look really good in Coyote Ugly on the dancers on the tables there. And then they gave us goober hats, which said, what, Trudy's House of Wax? Yep. They looked like they had been gnawed on by Roadkill after the Roadkill had been dead. And then there was, what, posters with somebody dripping wax here and there. So the whole demographic idea of that was you're married with children, beer drinking, football watching, humongous gut having person.
With a wife that's hot.
Yes. Because you all know by watching any kind of television that the large man who pretty much has a crappy job always has a hot wife at home.
I want to interview that stripper lady now. Just for that very reason.
Which is, the magazine is outstanding. It's a service to the industry. And there are every walk of life inside the magazine of people that would love to be interviewed about their latest book, about how they feel Catholicism belongs in school. Then the next page, the guy says it shouldn't be in school. In between that, there are a couple of strippers to tell you about the inside workings of a strip club, how there's drugs, prostitution, disease, the mob. You know, those kind of things.
Tell me something I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's inside information. CSI, you can get all of that. Education.
Let me break in here with a couple headlines.
There you go.
What will happen when your DNA falls into the wrong hands? Expert says this real identity theft is just around the corner. Man, wait a second. Isn't that what they got Clinton on?
Yeah.
His DNA falling into the wrong hands?
I was going to say, they just need to go to certain trash cans and they can get certain people's DNA.
Yeah, really. Hey, oh, here's a perfect one. We should call this one. Why women date jerks? I would like that answer.
Oh, when we get a phone connected to this and we start doing phone-ins, that is going to be the hottest topic. And I don't care what anybody says. Certain women are attracted to the biggest asses on the face of the earth. Not talking physically. Well, sometimes.
Well, no, that's true, too. Big,
yeah.
Big loads. I mean, I go out to the SEMA convention every year, and you'd be surprised how many of these guys, the SEMA convention is all about aftermarket parts for cars.
Right.
And so it's like your low riders and your big boom boom and stereos and all that other fun stuff.
Hey, man!
Yeah, and you'd be surprised how many guys who are like a block of human being, covered with tattoos from fingertip to toe.
I love mom.
Yeah, that say all kinds of fun things, including, like, there was this one guy who had this on the inside of his arm. He had this nude chick that he could make when he moved his arm. He could make her dance. It was kind of cool. But they have these really, really hot chicks with them.
Yep.
I mean, just totally hot, who are completely vacuous. Wait, I think I know why.
Okay, there you go. You answered your own...
Like Paris Hilton, I'd like to see the guy. I know she's dating somebody, but I'd like to see the guy.
She's dating a very wealthy person from overseas named Paris.
Wow, that's scary.
Does that mean that she, you know, she probably did that so she doesn't have to worry about whose name she calls out in bed?
She's calling her own.
Oh, Paris.
She's okay, here's an interview you will never hear on my show, possibly Joey's. Go backstage and behind the scenes with the hit TV show American Idol, Season 4. Yeah, that ain't happening.
As 6.5 days gets launched with Joey Cruz, you'll find out a little bit about my current situation and But I end up watching a lot of daytime television when I'm not illustrating or doing, you know, things on the computer or trying to find a way to crash the moon into the earth. And I've taken to the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Oh, that's a good show, though. I like watching her dance.
She has an outstanding show, and yes, her dancing is actually one of those things that everybody should see every day because it puts a smile on your face and makes you forget about what you were pissed off about 10 minutes ago. She had Constantine on, who was an American Idol. This year on American Idol, I have a teenage daughter, by the way, so I'm allowed to have this information.
Joey, I'm questioning your manhood, even though you have a teenage daughter.
They had two rock and roll type singers on there who are not going to win the contest. But, again, they're stretching their demographic. Long-haired hippie guys that were in metal bands or in modern rock bands made it into the higher levels. And so on Ellen, they had the most recent long-haired hippie guy on her show singing a love ballad. So
that's disgusting.
I may end up with this guy from American Idol telling all the secrets behind it, because I don't think that any rock person playing on a local level would willingly change their mode that fast unless there's a lot of money behind it, then they would sell out in a heartbeat.
Well, you're a musician. I know you're a musician, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it, drums?
Yeah, I played drums. Did since I was 7 until people forgot how to drive and made me a magnet.
That's right. You're a magnet for other cars.
Yeah.
Well, I was an orchestral musician. I played viola, cello, and bass.
I played trombone and piano, too.
And stop laughing, everyone out there. I know.
I'm not laughing.
I know what that says. Oh, he played viola. That's so sweet. Why didn't he play violin?
I'm not laughing. I'm trying to stifle a cough.
Oh, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, there's no cough button on this thing. Yeah, but I'm a musician, and I have lots of friends that are musicians, and I got my buddy Ollie from the Ollie blog out in Seattle relayed a story to me, and you can catch up with it on ollieblog.com. And there's a link to it in the permanent links on the site. He relayed to me a story about this band called the Glass Family.
Right.
They printed up 1,000 CDs. They did a search before they did all this stuff. They did a search,
right,
for the Glass Family in the United States and nationally. They had a lawyer look it up to make sure there was no one using the name.
Yes.
Then they go out and they burn 1,000 CDs at a cost of about $3,000.
Right.
And these are struggling musicians. You know the type. The guys that play, you know, they'll play clubs in their area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they play in Seattle, Tacoma.
Right.
You know, and they're a band, and they made this album. And, well, what happened 2 days ago is they got a letter in the mail from a band in Texas.
Oh, no.
Called the Glass Family. Who said that they've been doing it just as long as the other group, if not since 1991. Which is not what, you know, they couldn't find these people anywhere. But they have a lawyer who sent them a cease and desist.
And desist.
So as a musician, how does it make you feel, Joe?
Yeah.
I mean, these guys have $3,000
mm-hmm.
of their own money. They're not doing it the corporate route. They're not going to
right.
Sony.
Exactly.
Which all Sony or any of these others, there's really only 3 or 4 music companies out there anymore publishing music.
It's just like everything else, you know.
The monoculture.
At the top, there's only 3 or 4 people running the entire industry of anything.
Yeah.
Somewhere in this magazine that I'm flipping through is another story of people who went out and made it on their own by printing their albums themselves or printing their CDs. It's not on that page. I didn't
watch
it.
Okay, that's fine.
But anyway, Soundgarden, when they broke up, they went and got Chris Cornell.
I think that's his name.
I think it's his name.
I don't know.
I'm sure we'll get emails saying, no! But anyway, he went out and they founded a group called Audioslave with Chris as their lead singer. And the music is different than Rage Against the Machine, and it's different than Soundgarden. But they found a small band in the middle of Europe that also had the name Audioslave. Now, you've got a humongous supergroup against a very small group of local musicians who, I don't know, they might have been in Norway. So they play the hot club scene in Oslo.
Gavr Sjergen, Egan Perfect Egan.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been to Norway. I know what their club scene's like. Now, what Audioslave did was that they told the other band, here's $50,000. Now, the numbers are not exact in my head anymore because this was a couple of years ago. Here is a certain amount of money.
Here's a box.
Yeah.
It has money in it.
Yeah, it has money in it. You're allowed to use the name Audioslave as long as you do not misrepresent yourself as being us. Audioslave. You can't go to downtown Oslo and say, performing live tonight, the world record recording hit band Audioslave. Yeah. You know, and I think that was a real decent way to go about it, because these guys have been using the name and probably got some local notoriety over it, and I know all about changing your band's name can completely screw any groove that you've got going in a local, you know, music community.
Yeah.
You know? And so, with this instance of having two bands, the same name, one's got big money, the other one doesn't have big money, Unfortunately, I think that the band with the small amount of money is going to get rooked in this deal, mm-hmm. completely screwed over, because they have a lawyer that can write cease and desist,
or whoever has a family member that's a lawyer. And this is a lot of it's scare tactics anymore. Anyway,
that's all lawyers do. In the beginning, I've dealt with lawyers on separate things, and
lawyers,
yeah. Huh. And at first, it has nothing to do with, I mean, they don't even research anything. They're like, yeah, I'll send them a cease and desist and, you know, watch what they do. Oh, they didn't stop? All right, now we're going to, if you do not by this date, we're going to go ahead and go to court. Right. Usually that makes that other group give a second thought and in a band way probably say, how about we change it to the glass menagerie.
Yeah.
You know, or something.
Right.
And they're going to lose any fans because they're going to have to change their website if they have one.
All those formerly.
Yeah.
Formerly Glass Family, formerly, and that never works out.
No, that never works out, and they're going to lose any momentum that they had on the music scene except for locally. So if they were planning on becoming a large, high-profile rock band with an agent and traveling outside of their, you know, little place of the world, that has pretty much been shattered regardless of if they get sued or not.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to make all these changes in their daily band mentality that will affect everything they do from now on.
So Ollie turns to me and he says, do you know any entertainment lawyers? And I do, but it's all the same problem. He said, well, will any of them work on a pro bono basis? Or as a, or on a commission based on, you know, the amount of money that they can regain from this other group due to damages and whatnot. And
they're going to want points.
Yeah, the money is so low on something like this. I mean, you're talking about a group that, you know, they put $3,000, that's everything they had, into making some albums. You know, and that's all they did. Well, to me, I would say, well, scrap that idea of doing it, even releasing CDs, put it online. Through some type of downloadable music store, you know, and press them that way on demand, and that way they're not putting all the money into it. That way they can have the artwork available, the other stuff available. And Cafe Press actually does that, and I told Ollie about that, and he's pretty happy.
But I can't wait to get a logo up there.
But the funny part is that this happens on everything, and it's all about scaring people. It has nothing to do with actually having any real reason behind it. I had this happen to me in 93 with my original company was called Interpages.
Right.
My original web presence. My company was called Think Inc., but the other part was called Interpages. And I got a Canadian letter, and it was right after NAFTA passed. And I got screwed on a 3-day first use. I mean, it was like within 3 days. And the other guy was a Japanese businessman who lived in Canada. Mm-hmm. I know, weird stuff.
Never mind.
But it's a worldwide community.
Yes.
This was in 93, and I went to an attorney, paid him $500 retainer, well, $750 retainer, and he spent every penny of that $750 and turned back around to me and said, you know, there's no case law on this or court law, so there's really nothing we can do. So you can either decide to fight it, and then I'll need another $750 retainer to start there.
To
start there. And so then I turned around and just got pissed. So, okay, Joey's on the phone with his mom. Okay, so let's just take an inventory of what's on his table in his living room. Are you ready for this? This is awesome. He's got Sleepover, the special edition, a piece of lace, a pencil, something made out of pipe cleaners and little glass beads, a remote control, a big brush, a rubber ducky, a little picture carousel, a leather box, 5 coasters, something that needs to be filled out and returned. The Beatles. Is that a DVD? I don't know. Let's see. It's a piece of Tupperware with some albums in it. The State Farm Home Atlas. A flower. Anything else? Oh, a couple of cans, obviously made by his daughter from Easter, that say Happy Easter. And a piece of paper that says Trouble, Elvis Presley. So that's a tour, a sound-seeing tour, of Joey's living room table.
Okay. Apparently, while I... Let's try that again. Apparently, while I was gone, you guys took an audio tour of my living room coffee table. Because, yeah, with the video or DVD of Sleepover there and a rubber ducky, actually the Ernie rubber ducky, how can you not want to see what else is on there? So anyway, you know, well, I collect Living Dead dolls and a bunch of other things, obviously. Through my wanderings of promotional swag, I get cases of lots of things. And
shingles. Herpes. Not those kind of cases.
No, I don't get cases of those.
Got the piles.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
And actually, rubber ducky is a stress...
Oh, he's a stress ducky. I didn't even pick him up because I didn't want to move anything, so it would look like, you know, one of these days I'm going to go into Joey's computer room, and I'm going to talk about all the stuff that's on there if he leaves the room. So we're going to make him paranoid so he doesn't leave the room.
Oh, well, if you're facing the window in my computer room, left is computer and art stuff. To the right, besides the guinea pig, is swag. Mm. Swag is stuff you get from companies for promotional purposes, and I guess I had fallen out of grace with one promotional company because...
Well, they send you dead fish in a box?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would expect, you know?
Prince Albert in a can.
Yeah, really.
And,
it's good tobacco, actually. Pipe tobacco.
I don't know.
So what did they do to you?
So... When I called them and said, you know, I haven't seen anything from you guys in a while, because when I first started with them, nobody wanted to talk about the Lord of the Rings and New Line Cinema's new venture into the role-playing game arena. Now, I hover all around a lot of geek stuff, but I've never actually played role-playing games, and I've never actually played this, that, or the other thing. I'm a video game type person.
I was a dungeon master.
But I know everybody who does play these. So once upon a time, I was in the really good graces of a company, and they would send me case by case of all their newest product every week, and the UPS guy didn't even ask for signatures anymore. He just left it underneath the little overhang in front of my house, and I'd walk home and go, how am I going to get these boxes in the house, you know, being one arm crippled? And then all of a sudden they just stopped. And that was due in part to, I think, some communication of a former partner of mine saying that I was no longer broadcasting.
Oh, that bastard.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, we'll fix that.
It's already fixed. Okay. So then I called and called and called and was being the, you know, really nice guy.
Pain in the ass.
And so finally I hooked up with this really cute sounding girl named Tina at the promotional place. And at first she says, yeah, I'll send you some stuff. And she sent me this stuff that they had gone, I guess, to press with. Originally, 2.5 years ago, I got a really small box of a couple of figures and a couple of these. And what I do is I go to my promotions and throw them out to people. Like I'm going to keep them.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. And so I called her and I said, you know, am I blackballed? What's the deal? Blah, blah, blah. This is all the stuff that so-and-so had sent me 2.5 years ago. Well, I really don't know what you do. I'm really good on the phone. And so, in talking to this pretty-sounding young lady after that, I think I've gotten maybe in the last 2 weeks 6 or 10 cases of miscellaneous this, that, and the other thing from movies and games and whatnot. So the other side of the room, away from the computer, is the promotional item wall of Please Don't Fall Over. So,
I know, man.
And it swells and ebbs and goes back and forth. And last night it was a little bigger, and we went to see House of Wax, and now it's a little smaller. It'll be a little smaller this weekend once I find out what movies are playing at the Aloma Cinema Grill. And then it will be even smaller come Wednesday, May 18th, because at midnight, of course, Star Wars airs at 12:01.
Well, that's good.
I have 50 free tickets for that.
50 tickets?
50. 25 pairs of free Star Wars tickets.
Well, how are we going to give those out? Because I'm sure there are going to be more than 50 people that want them.
Yes.
What's it going to be? First come, first serve?
First come, first serve has to bring a piece of Star Wars memorabilia. Whether you're wearing a really old Luke Skywalker t-shirt that is four sizes too small for you.
I have Princess Leia's virginity in a box.
Well, there we go. We can open that up and share. And then just bring something Star Wars related, and the first 50 people or first 25 couples gets in free. Probably get in a hell of a lot of trouble for doing this, because this is one of those movies that is double top secret, probation type movies, because Lucas doesn't like anybody doing anything fun with his movies.
Oh, you mean free? Time.
Yeah, free.
Oh, free, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like free on anything. And they really cut back on this movie promotional-wise. So
when does that come out?
Central Florida, if you are in the area, Aloma Cinema Grill, May 18th, which is a Wednesday. I suggest you be in line at 11:30. Because I have a feeling the line will wrap around the building and the first 50 people will get the pick of the litter. Sit where they want, pick the waitresses that they want, because the Cinema Grill, of course, is a... You don't stand in line at the concession stand. You sit in your seat and the concession stand comes to you with wings and pizza and nachos and beer.
Beer. Sangria.
Carafes of sangria.
That's the best.
Mm-hmm.
A carafe of sangria? Yeah. Oh, man. I don't remember what movie that was. I was depressed when I went to see a movie one time when Joey was giving him, and I drank a by myself a carafe of sangria and ate a box of popcorn. Yeah. And then I got the bill, and I'm like, whoa, that was a whole carafe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I can't read this. Yeah. What is this?
Well, didn't I say a half a carafe?
I don't remember what I said. I think I said I'll take a giraffe. I don't know at that point. I was just out. But, yeah, it was one of those. But, yeah, it's a good theater to see a movie in. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got good sound, pretty good quality picture.
And there's absolutely nowhere else in Central Florida that you are going to get free tickets for Star Wars 3, The Revenge of the Sith. Not at all.
So is there any possibility we get to interview anybody for that?
I'm working on it. Right, actually, right now, I'm looking at the phone number of Christian Bale's people. And that's,
Batman
for the 17th. I've got Kevin Smith on tap, and he is...
Is that the Clerks guy?
Yeah.
And that's the other one. It's Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah, right. Actually, his new book is called Silent Bob Speaks. And so I'm going to be working on getting Kevin Smith to actually speak to us, because for years he's been coming to Central Florida, and when he does a convention, he does no press. He says, I'm here for the fans to sign their things and talk to them about the stories they want to talk to me about, but I will not be interviewed by television, radio, or anybody.
What about podcasters?
Well,
see, that'll be a trick.
But now he's on the list.
Oh, if he's on the list, he's got to talk to somebody.
He's on the list of people willing to talk now.
Oh,
and
good.
I actually, I get this every once in a while. Kevin James is on the top of the list. I guess they don't go in any order of importance.
Who's Kevin James?
Kevin James was the heavy guy in Hitch. And he's also... What's his name? Doug on King of Queens?
Oh, King of Queens. I've never seen the show. I'm not a big fan of CBS at all. So.
No, I'm not either. But it's another idea. It's another show of a really heavy guy who supposedly grabbed this incredibly hot woman based on his personality.
Which is what we were talking about earlier. So in other words, it's a fantasy.
The ideal situation is that it doesn't matter what you look like or who you are or what you do for a living. You will go home to a hot wife.
Well, I can attest to that. I dated a 22-year-old girl a couple of years back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was hot.
Now, does that go in the reverse for women?
What's that?
That they are not ideally Pamela Anderson, and they want to come home to a really stuffy
man. Totally, Fabio?
Yeah.
Do you see? Have you seen the... Oh, you haven't. You don't have the cable. But there's a show, I can't remember what it's on, Bravo, A&E, something like that.
I saw him get hit in the face with a duck.
It's How to Be. Yeah. You know, it took me hours throwing those ducks to actually hit him. But it was a... You know how much feed you go through trying to get ducks to hit a guy in the face? All right, so... it was one of those things. He's got this show where he's picking the next... Big, like, cover model for these things, and, like...
For the Harlequin Romance?
Yeah, it's just wrong, man. Just wrong.
I don't think I've ever heard him speak.
It is this very bad, ridiculous type speaking.
Because he was in Bubble Boy.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, right. He was.
You watch a lot of movies that I just wouldn't even see.
Well, again, I have a 14-year-old daughter. And she brings home some ideas of what people, talk about at school, and then I'll get, And Bubble Boy was actually a former co-broadcaster that I had 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. A former co-broadcaster?
Yeah.
Bubble Boy was?
No.
Oh.
She recommended it to me.
Oh.
And I was...
Oh, this wasn't Miriam, was it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Miriam's got good taste in
it. I was going to say, Miriam usually recommends anime or something, or hentai,
yeah,
or something ridiculous.
Oh, she's got some great ideas that we need to get with her on. Real soon. Well,
let's not talk about her.
Who, Miriam?
Yeah, let's not talk about Miriam. Or okay. DJ.
Okay.
Or any of those other people that you used to deal with. Until we get their permission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Miriam.
I'm just picking on you guys because I know you're not listening to the podcast right now.
She is actually listening.
Oh, crap.
Hi, Miriam. But anyway, a former co-broadcaster recommended Bubble Boy, and that person's choice in movies was atrocious. And so I never saw Bubble Boy until my 14-year-old daughter recommended it from a friend of hers who's, for a really young person... I will see every movie that person recommends because they're right on my list. They're on, the Joey's hit list of, hey, that's a good movie because somebody said so.
Joey's trapped at 13. Joey's trapped at 13.
Well, yeah, I've been hearing that for years.
Oh, man. Yeah,
every breakup I've ever had ended with that.
Joey, you're 13 years old. Yeah, and?
When are you going to start?
And I'm dating a 24-year-old now. That sounds pretty good, then.
Yeah, it works out well.
It's doing really well.
Who's the one in trouble?
Exactly. Oh, boy. But, yeah, so I would love to get a chance to interview Christian Bale. That would be an amazingly fun interview.
Yeah, I've got a lot of tools that...
He's a tool?
Yeah.
Well, that's not a very nice thing to say when you're trying to get him on the show.
We just started.
Oh.
No, actually, I've got a lot of tools that's going to hopefully bring a lot of interesting interviews and topics to my show when it comes up, 6.5 Days with Joey Cruz. And the One Man Revolution, we're going to share information and we're going to pick and choose and, feel up whatever it is that we want to bring to the rest of you.
I can imagine Joey's asking all these entertainment questions and then he turns them over to me and I go, yeah, so what do you think about the war in Iraq? Hey, do you think that gas will ever reach $4 a gallon? Hey, so, can you imagine?
In the movie last night, what was it, $1.19?
Yeah, $1.19. Yeah, they should have known something was wrong with that town when, we won't give anything away. But they should have known something was wrong in that town when you see gas for $1.19.
Yeah.
Gas
$1.19, what are you kidding?
Well, Paris Hilton funded the whole town, so I guess it was, gas is free there. I'd love to live in a town where Paris, Paris Hilton could buy a small town in South Carolina or Louisiana.
Yeah.
And put a hotel in it and make it popular because, it would be hot.
Well said, Joey. From what you can tell, everything I bring up has to do with entertainment because that's my realm. That's what I've always done. I've always been in the music and entertainment and promotions industry.
And I've always been a producer and a prick. So.
Right. After being shot at, I figured I'd go talk to friendly people.
Yeah.
So...
It does definitely skew your view, being a law enforcement officer.
It's amazing.
Especially in this country. This country, or you were in the military as an officer.
This country has zero respect for their law enforcement officials.
And their teachers.
And their teachers.
I'm
and anybody who is in a position of authority in this country, it starts, and here we go, it starts with children and their parents. The level of respect that children have for their parents is 180 degrees different from when I was a child. And again, that was 180 degrees different from when my parents were children. And it just follows its way up until we're at the condition we're at now, where kids are bringing guns to school, they don't respect law enforcement, they don't respect their teachers. When I was...
13-ish or whatever, I was even afraid of the security guy at the mall because he was the person in charge. Right. He could get me in trouble if I did something stupid.
Joey and I had very different lives.
Well, that was only when I got, if I got caught.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I was an intelligent delinquent.
Yes.
And what the thing is that now the security people have to worry about being ganged up upon and their asses beat and everything like that.
Well, they have to worry about lawsuits. That's the other part. We're such a litigious society in the U.S. right now that when an officer draws his weapon, even if he's being shot at, and actually this ties in, I'll tie in a game review into this. I've been playing the game SWAT 4. This game is very, very well done. I actually beat it the other day. Yeah, I know. It took me 4 days. It sucks. No, I love the game. The game's great, but you know, when you play first-person shooters for as long as I have, it ends up becoming really simple. But you're dealing with a squad, and you get points based on a couple of things. One of them is the health of your squad, the ability to gain objectives, and there are 4 different levels of difficulty from easy to normal to something like elite and expert. There's 4 levels. And I beat it at normal and at elite. Right. You know, that's just like the two tough levels, the two mid-sized levels. And I'm going back through and beating each one at all of them. The easy ones are hilarious.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, but I like to beat it at normal and then go back. But it's amazing how this game says, basically, if you shoot a hostage, even inadvertently, failure. So what that tells me is that within the SWAT community, or what the game company of Vivendi is trying to put out, is that they're officers of the law. If you make a mistake as an officer, you are punished.
There's penalties for your
penalties. Action. And that you can actually lose the objectives of a round. It actually gives you a score from 0 to 100 for each of the ability to complete objectives. And the best you can get is 100, right. And the worst you can get is completely negative. I've actually gotten in the negative 120 world. That's when you kill all of your squad. On your own, yourself.
Well, that's like, when you completely mess up the round and you're going...
Yeah, I mess up. I've already failed, so I go around, I shoot every hostage in the head. I kill every one of my guys. I hide behind walls and shoot my own guys, and just to see how far the score can go down.
Right.
So what it's saying is that you can be punished for that as an officer, and even if you don't... There's a yell. You yell, you know, police, you know, put your hands up. If you don't do that first, even if the guy recognizes you and shoots you, or shoots at you, and you shoot him first without ever saying anything,
right?
It's they deduct the penalties.
Well, there's a use of force scale. You have to identify yourself, you have to give verbal instructions, and then you have to see if they abide by them, and then you've got to determine if they're giving you... passive resistance or active resistance, and those are all the things that are required for even just being able to put your hands on somebody in the law enforcement community. Sometimes that use of force scale escalates really fast. You know, somebody's running at me. Stop, police, blah, 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 within, 0.5 seconds. But that's
when you have somebody who's actually there who could... Who could say, well, Joey didn't go through the whole use of force scale.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not like, bang, bang, halt or I'll shoot.
Yeah.
But that speaking of games, that's one thing that I've always had a problem with video games is Grand Theft Auto.
I love Grand Theft Auto.
And I was at a party with a guy named Joey Snackpants. Hi, Joey. And Snackpants, what a great name. He's got every gadget in the world. He is the ultimate collectible geek, techie, anime, everything.
Freak.
Yeah.
And good. That's a good thing.
And he's personable too, which is very odd. You know, and it's not like saying a really large woman is great because she has a good personality.
Right.
You know, he actually is a really nice guy that is the upper scale of geekdom. Anyway, I'm playing Grand Theft Auto because I'd never seen it before. I didn't have the platform or the console to play it. And I'm playing and I'm running around and I'm starting to realize that my guy's getting tired. My guy doesn't have any money. My guy doesn't have any weapons. my guy is just exhausted. And I'm not doing anything but running around town trying to complete missions. So somebody sits next to me and goes, well, you got to steal cars and you got to beat people up and you got to shoot cops and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, well, so I tried that for about 10 minutes and I was done. Because the idea of wanting to be, you know, pretending that I'm shooting cops, or jacking somebody on the side of the road for their cash or their car. You know, the car, okay. I stole more cars than I jacked people because it was just fun to drive.
If you pick up hookers and you have money, the car bounces up and down.
Oh, I didn't know that.
See?
That would have been more fun in the
but
car.
But your money goes down.
Oh, well, obviously. But there's a huge differentiation between when we played cops and robbers and had guns and stuff like that. You didn't feel bad for shooting the cops because you were a bad guy and it was all in your imagination and you were technically learning what's right and wrong and who's good and who's bad. Now, the line is not just blurred, it's been peed all over and it's just looks like some sort of Rorschach blot. And
it's a game, Joey.
Yeah, but it's a game that I didn't feel comfortable playing. And at the time, it was really weird. Fast forward a couple of years, I'm playing Morrowind 3 Expanded Edition Game of the Year or whatever, and it has action and reaction. It's got penalties for all your actions. If you steal from somebody's, you know, RPG games, you know, you go into somebody's house and you can go through all their drawers and their chest and steal all their gold and weapons and whatever. And if they're standing right there, they're just like, bye, have a good day. Have fun storming the castle.
Yeah, really. You this think game, they'll make it?
Yeah, not a chance. Yeah, and this game, you get busted right away by the guard if you go through somebody's chest and, you know, decide you want to steal their weapon that's bigger than yours. And it was all of a sudden immediate rang with me. It was like, this is great because you actually have to think beforehand on whether your actions are within your moral boundaries and blah, 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 blah. It just floors me.
Counterpoint to yours.
Yeah.
If you play Grand Theft Auto from beginning to end, and if you play Vice City beginning to end, like I played it. I haven't gotten San Andreas just basically because I'm bored with the idea of the genre.
Right.
It gets boring for me after a while because I'm not a third-person game person. I like first-person. I like
RPG and first-person.
Yeah. So basically what you learn is that if you do tick off the police officers inside of the world that's there, you will die.
Yeah.
There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They will track you down, hunt you down like a dog, and kill you. Especially if you run over a police officer with a large car.
Yeah.
Even if you steal a motorcycle and jump it over the river. They will eventually catch up to you because they'll send a helicopter.
Okay? And that's
so it does have some, but it does have some controls to say that what this is not reality. I mean, this is a virtual world where these things are occurring, and I look at it from a different perspective. I mean, you're from a law enforcement perspective. I'm from a, I don't know what other perspective it would be, but it would be that we as people need outlets for our rage, for our anger, for all of those pent-up things that society will not allow us to do. And the way to get them out so that we do not act on them or go down to the local bar and beat the living crap out of someone and possibly get really arrested, which I know people have very poor impulse control, and that does happen to them.
Yeah.
You know, they get rescued by their buddies, you know, because it's a biker community. But that's big. That's another total other story. But these guys, you know, they're somewhere where you can get your aggression out.
Yeah.
And in this society, being aggressive is very bad. I'm an extraordinarily aggressive person when I have something that I believe in. And that's partly why I basically say I'm a revolutionary.
Right.
I would rather destroy what's here and start over. You know, a lot of the times it's a simplistic view on the world. So we must have, you know, so with these games you can do that.
Right.
And I used to come home from a good day at work, a bad day at work, and I would do I would play some first person shooter like a Quake or something like that and get all of those feelings out of me.
Right.
You know, and I think that that's the perspective you that needs to be put on these. Now, heck, Ohio's trying to ban and outlaw some of these games. So is Pennsylvania, some other northeastern states. There was a game called Postal that came out many years ago where your victims would beg you to kill them after you set them on fire.
Oh.
They would lay on the ground saying, kill me, kill me, kill me. Well, that was nothing compared to Postal 2, mm-hmm. which never really got a big release because it was banned before it came out.
Right.
You could whack the head off of someone with a shovel and play soccer with a dog with it. You could pour gasoline on them and set them on fire, and they would run around screaming and eventually die. Okay? Now, did they push it too far? Yes. Should they have pushed it that far? It's a free country.
Yes.
It's a free market economy, it's good that even though you have a different viewpoint on it, that you can admit, yeah, they have every right to produce it. Mm-hmm. Do we also have the right not to buy it? Yes.
Yeah.
So the market will provide.
And that's where I stand is I'm not against any of the games being created. I am all for playing at a level where you can understand what's going on. If my 10-year-old were to play Vice City...
That's parenting, though.
I am an irresponsible parent.
Correct.
It is not, you know, Rockstar's fault. It is not, you know, GameStop's fault. It's not any place else except my own fault while it's in my home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where the problems start to germinate is when they go over to
Billy
so-and-so's
and
place
house.
To spend the night or the weekend, and their parents say, yeah, sit in front of that TV there. My kid's got Grand Theft Auto. Now, I've trained my kids, and people have come back and gone, what have you done to your kids? Because my kids know what level movies they're allowed to watch, what level games they're allowed to play, and they still respect that when they're outside of the home.
What are you, a parent?
Yeah.
But your daughters are never going to get husbands. That's it right there. Good job.
Yeah. But that's the idea. And I don't have any problems of playing Halo, which is the same concept of going around and killing people to accomplish your mission. I just don't like it that the... What do you call those? The people who are... Boom, you're my avatar. There you go.
The avatars
are real people that it puts into your mind, you know, maybe you're a little more of a violent person.
Right, that's part of the Ohio law, by the way.
Mm.
The Ohio law says that you can go around and shoot aliens or anything else that is non-human.
Right. I agree with that only to the level of there can be the other type of games where there are humans being shot at and whatnot. But sold beyond a certain age.
Yeah.
And
well, but all of that, that's because of the way that games are sold today. That's not going to work either. Because you can walk into one store and purchase it as a 12-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Walk in another store and they'll stop you.
Well, the big store across the street actually checks for ID based on the game. They turn it over and it says, suggested for 13 and under. Well, they'll find out how old that person is.
And all those games are completely regulated by the ESRB.
And I don't think that they should put any limit, like in movies or anything else, I don't think they should put any limit of what the content is.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that once it leaves the store, it becomes either that person's or that person's parents' responsibility to determine, can that person play the game? Did you, as a completely irresponsible jackass parent, buy that game for them for Christmas, not knowing the content of it.
That's the other part.
Mm-hmm.
This all comes back to parenting, which is something we can talk about another time.
Yeah.
Because I fully agree with you that and this is weird hearing it from a liberal person like me. I'm a very liberal individual.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very liberal. Very, very leftist.
I don't know what I am politically.
You're a centrist.
Okay.
You swing both ways. You know.
I paid for it, but...
Joey swings both ways. Looking at the movies on his desk, you can say the same thing. So it's one of those things. It's for me, being as liberal as I am, when it comes to things like parenting, you would say I'm an extremely conservative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are things, and my daughter's very good about it. She's almost five, and all I have to do is look at her when we're watching, like, Cartoon Network, and I look at her and I say, do you think we should watch this one?
Mm-hmm.
And she'll go, no. I said, do you want to watch TV right now? You want to do something else? Or one more show, and then it's nap time.
Right.
You know, or something like that. And she completely abides by it.
Yep.
Why? Because we've been consistent all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother is consistent at her mother's house, and I am consistent at my house. There are things that she can watch with me that she can't watch by herself.
Same here.
So that I can explain it to her.
Yep.
You know, there are those things. I think that a lot of people, if they would actually spend time and get to know their children, mm-hmm. which a lot of people don't do anymore, mm-hmm. then it would be it would be a much better place. So I guess our next my next rant or my next revolution of my next active revolt would be an active revolt on parenting.
We'll have to talk
about that another time. That very much wraps up our time. We almost did a full hour this time with the sound uh-huh. sanctor.
I'll carry the first torch on the parenting thing. House of Wax, go see it. It is actually an amusing movie besides Paris Hilton dying, and I think that the effects in it, the way that everything was built at the climax of the movie, you'll just sit there and go, that is just so damn cool.
Yeah, I agree. It was a great movie. Excellent. I mean, it was a good time.
I give it a go see it, and my scale is going to be don't see it, rent it, or go see it. So I give it a good go see.
Well, I've got a star rating, and I would put that on a 3 out of 5.
A solid three.
So,
good deal.
Yeah.
All right. Look for 6.5 days with Joey Cruz on onemanrevolution.org.
And look for One Man Revolution here at onemanrevolution.org, which is what you're listening to. Boy, that was dumb.
Yeah.
And, remember to go and vote for us at Podcast Alley.
Yeah.
That's podcastalley.com. Just go do a search for One Man Revolution. There's also a link on the site that will allow you to go right there and vote for us. We're looking to hit the top 50 this month, and voting refreshes monthly. So we'll catch you next time.
Do I have email where they can contact
you? You can contact us at onemanrevolution@gmail.org, and I will post Joey's email address. It'll probably be 6.5 days with Joey. @gmail.com. We'll throw that up there too.
Sweet.
But we'll get that going very soon.
Good talk to you.
Later.
See you.